Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session.
Welcome back to Fright School. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joshua.
Oh, it's been a while. We've been off making plans, doing being gay and doing crime.
Yes, we're making evil plans.
It's good to be back. And this is a very special episode. One, it's like not even a Monday we're releasing this. It just feels random, but it's not. It all makes sense. Well, it will make sense, I guess, is the point. Anyways, this is a very, very special episode. You'll notice today, dear listener, that we're talking about a film that's not a horror film. Well, at least not for normal people. I maybe found it a bit horrifying, but that's here nor there. The point is that we're very, very, very excited to announce the launch of our Patreon.
Yay! Yay! We're doing it! Finally!
Yes, we have actually been working on this for a long time, talking about it, thinking of things, and we finally hit on an idea and hit on, you know, stuff that would make it worth it and valuable to you, our dear, dear, dear listener. And so we're very, very excited to tell you all about it today. And, you know, you'll be able to find links and all of that kind of stuff in the show notes, of course. So we have officially launched, and we have four exciting tiers that you can join at different levels, different, zhuzh at each level, I guess, depending on what. So, today's episode, that's what we're doing. This is just full on, shameless self-promotion. Give us your coins. Imagine we're sashaying and shimmying and you're giving us dollar bills, which is actually a good place to start. So Joe, why don't you take it away? And you tell those viewers at home about our first tier.
Well, hi gays. Happy. It's also Pride Month, right? So happy Pride Month.
It is Pride Month. Yes.
Support.
Yes, we are now officially in it.
Support queer creators by joining our Patreon.
Gosh, it's almost as if we planned the
what? The grand design. So the first tier is our PTA Booster Club. This is a $1 a month tier for, $1 a month. You give us your general support, and we also will subscribe you to our monthly newsletter. So
yes,
we are going to have a newsletter. We're as if we didn't have more to do. we are doing more things. Well, more like Joshua needs things to do in between before he goes off to grad school. So he needed to.
So we're establishing those habits now. We're getting all that stuff in now. That way it'll be easier.
Exactly.
Than starting it then.
Exactly.
But yeah, the first newsletter is already ready to go. So you can go ahead, you can subscribe to that and get all that. And yeah, that PTA Booster Club, we're thinking like the P flag, the moms, you bake sale,
Yeah.
You're just happy.
You buy a cookie for a dollar.
There you go. You're just happy to hear us doing this each week in your earballs. And we really, really appreciate, that's a little like a drag tip. I like it.
Exactly. Give us a tip. Give us a little tip. Joshua, you want to do the second level or should I?
Sure.
I think I'll do the second level because I want you to talk about the last two.
Okay.
This is us producing the podcast in real time.
Live.
Live. We do this
even though we'd already figured this out before, but now we're changing it.
Yes.
Go ahead, Joe. Take it away. Tell the listeners what they could win.
So at the second level, which is our $5 a month level, it's you're auditing the course. You're just auditing the course. So it includes everything at the first level, but you also get access to the up-and-coming Fright School Book Club, our up-and-coming Discord channel. So if you don't know what Discord is, we will explain that to you later because... we are still trying to figure out. I'll speak from the eye. I am still trying to figure out to make sure I fully comprehend it, but it'll be a way for us to interact with everybody in like a, you know, confined, curated Fright School space.
There we go. Exactly.
Tell us about the book club, Joshua.
Space. So the book club, yes, we're going to do every other month. So it'll start in July. So you'll have all of June to read the book. So don't come to class unprepared. You have a full month to read the book. So yeah, every other month we will do, we'll read a book and we'll chat about it. And sometimes the books may have something to do with the Fright School theme of the month. So that's a hint. Children, because the very first book we're going to do is by Mallory O'Meara. It's called The Lady from the Black Lagoon, all about Millicent Patrick's contribution to the legendary design of the Gill Man from The Creature from the Black Lagoon. So that's going to be our first book. And you can read about the second book in the newsletter if you sign up.
And for this first book, I will read it.
You should, Joe. It's going to be
fun. I will read it.
Yeah, I've just put it off a very long time, but I thought, you know, maybe that's a hint for something we might be watching in July, you know, dear listener. So yeah, pick up a copy of the book and read it and then join me. We'll just sit and chat about books and be literary. It'll be fun. Literary. And then, yes, the Discord. And you will also, at the $5 level, we're going to post some more video content of our, like, regular episodes. So you'll have access to that, too, which will be super fun. You can see this happening live, which actually you can't see right now, this part of the show. But if you subscribe to Patreon, you can see our Encanto chat. Right, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll be able to see it. It'll be a thing.
Figuring this out. All right. So then our next level will be the full-time load. So full-time tuition, full-time load. Joe came up with that title, of course. And so you get everything that we've already talked about. Plus, this is very, very exciting, access to our brand new secret show, the After Fright School special. So twice a month, Joe is going to sit in the professor's chair and take us on a journey of a film that he likes. Mostly stuff that's going to be like a little family friendly, maybe, but you know, it's going to be very different. Most of the films are films I have never seen. So he's torturing me already. I'll tell you, kids, I've already watched three movies for this show, and it's awful. I now understand how Joe has felt all these years. One of them in particular, I feel, makes up for the horrors of Inside. I don't think I ever have to apologize again for making Joe watch that film. And in fact, I may make him watch Martyrs now, so that he understands the pain I have from watching one of these movies. But you'll have to hear all about that over on the Patreon at the $10 level. So the other cool thing about this level is if you stay continuously subscribed for 6 months, we're going to send you some Fright School supplies. So something cool, a little merch package we're putting together for people who, you know, commit to supporting the show. We really appreciate it. And we want to see you wear some Fright School flair. we should get a pennant.
Yeah. So we get like a little pennant. It'll be all ratted and look like it was mauled by a bear or something like that. Or some sort of
covered in blood. Yes. More production as we do the show live. And then finally, our last tier is called the Faculty Lounge. This is for $20 a month. You'll get everything we've already talked about. Plus, you can join us once a month for a fun, you know, video chat, hangout. You know, we want to know what you think of the show, what you think of horror, what you think of other things. You know, we're very interested in the people who listen to this show.
What you think of Joshua's face, Joshua's nails, Joshua's outfit.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's what this whole thing is. It's just to talk about me. No, this is for you. This is our dear faculty. We're holed up in the faculty lounge. There are zombie children at the door. You know, what is that? Cooties.
Cooties.
You know, it's that sort of situation. And we need to get to know each other before the end of the world comes. And you will also, if you subscribe for 6 straight months, we'll send you a deluxe Fright School supply merch bundle. So we are super excited. We do have some cool ideas for that. Yeah. For, you know, for our dear listeners who have supported us and listened to this show for so long and are now, you know, helping support our show in different ways so we can continue to grow, continue to do other cool stuff that we love to do, keeping this going. So
it's the difference between shopping at the dollar store versus shopping at like a Target. So just keep
for
that
what?
In mind.
What you,
for the school
about?
Supplies. For the school supplies.
No, we're trying to bring quality. But I will say this, you know, supporting us on Patreon, you know, you could go out, you can get, you know, your horror commentary at the dollar store, or you could support you could support queer content creators.
Yes, you could support us
directly by throwing us some coins, and we'll, you know, we've got some cool stuff planned. So very, very excited to finally do this. And we do want to meet, you know, more of you and chat with you. And yeah, so hopefully you'll check it out and you'll join us. Join this mad, mad house. Join us here in the West Craven Memorial Library. It, more intimately, of
more,
course,
yes,
right?
More intimately.
Sorry, I had a sip of my tea. We've done a lot of talking today already. Alrighty. So anything else, Joe?
I think you covered it. So right, to give you a little taste.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going. So go ahead.
So to give you a little taste, we are actually going to release on the main feed our Encanto chat. Encanto? Yeah. Encanto?
Encanto, I think it is. Encanto. Why are you asking me? You are supposed to be in charge of these now. These are your picks. But yeah, this is just a preview of what After Fright School Special will be like.
Don't you just love how bossy he is, even though it's supposed to be my picks?
Right, but you don't know how to say them, apparently.
No.
I love that. I love that for you, Joe. I love that journey for you and all the people who worked so hard, the thousands of creators that worked on Encanto, and we're just butchering the pronunciation of it. But no, the point is that, yes, you can listen to that conversation here, or if you subscribe on Patreon, $10 a month, you can see us talk about it and other fun films. We'll have Encanto's the first one. We'll have two more coming out this month. So you're going to get actually three videos this month. So you want to check it out, patreon.com/frightschool. And all those details will also be in the notes.
Yep.
And on all of our social media. You'll find it. If you listen to us, you will find it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, without further ado, here's me hating on a movie that seems universally adored. After the break. Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about how we're going to start. Okay, listen, we're already off to like a terrible start, dear listener. Dear watcher, if you're one of our Patreon subscribers, you get to see this mess. Yay. No, I was thinking that that you would be the one to say welcome and all
okay,
of that.
Okay, well, okay, cool. Well, this is just special for the Patreon, right? This is, you're watching the sausage get made.
There we go.
So we'll do this again. So okay. Hello, everyone out there in Patreon land. Thank you so much for coming and for giving us your monies. We appreciate your coins, and for that, we are going to give you some extra delectable content. Welcome to After Fright School.
Yes, the After Fright School special. It's like it's ABC. It's the 70s. You know, you're although we're trying to be feel good with these movies, so it's not gonna really feel like, you know, the after school specials of like of that time, because when I was growing up it was like eating disorders, addiction, you know, those sorts of things. But this is gonna be a little, because we already deal with all that on Fright School, this will be more the feel good version. And go ahead.
Or at least it'll be more irreverent.
There we go.
We won't be as serious. I mean, like, you know, I was gonna say the movie we're talking about today deals with some pretty heavy themes, but we can we'll talk true? About
yeah
we'll talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, so we just thought this would be fun. So Joe is choosing movies that I've never seen. For the most part, we're going to play with the format a little bit. This is the, you know, this is only the very first episode, so we're figuring it out. You know, I'm sure by the third or fourth we'll we'll know what we're doing. But the idea behind this is that, yeah, we're just flipping the Fright School script. You know, Joe's picking things. A lot of these movies I've never seen that that are on the list so far. There's going to be a few that I have that I love or that match our, you know, Fright School theme of the month, whatever that may be. And some of them are just going to be things that Joe wants to torture me with. And I'm going to try to do my best not to ruin the fun for Disney and for all of those. What else is like Pixar? I don't know. I don't even know.
I mean, you'll do your best, but like you also are you. And
oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know,
you should see this list of notes I have.
Oh my lord,
in Encanto.
This is supposed to be only half an hour.
I know. We're gonna get through it. So okay. you chose Encanto. I see your background.
Yes, this is Casa Madrigal. What it was.
Oh it's yes, like, the 5 hour long opening song, letting us know who everyone is at breakneck speed. Had to
down. I've first of all, dear listener, dear watcher, I literally like Joshua and I have been met for like half an hour before recording this, and he is just telling me now that he recognizes where this is from, which means that he just thinks that my Zoom background is like a rainbow and a multicolored house in Colombia.
It tracks. It tracks. It's very gay.
apparently. So, all right, yes.
Excuse me. I'm just looking up the Wikipedia for Encanto because I've already forgotten everyone's names and all the actors and all the characters. So I want to make sure.
I should probably do the same. I mean, you didn't memorize that song where, you know, they basically explain everybody. Like you said, it's the 5 hour long song about the Casa Madrigal.
It was so fast. It was like, here's every fucking body who lives in this village. You know, it gave me, you know, Belle, Beauty and the Beast, which I have seen, you know, the Bonjour opening. Like there goes, you know, everybody that lives here and their jobs. This is what they do.
But as Joshua has already highlighted, we are talking about the 2021 American Disney animated film Encanto, which centers around this family, the Madrigal family, and the special abilities that they have due to a miracle that happened when their patriarch like gave his life fleeing from what I'm assuming was some sort of like fascistic government.
Yeah, I love this. Once again, we get to visit this is vague Colombia. Yes, you know, we've been to
vague South America, but right. But it's Colombia, but it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So we're in vague Colombia. Some terrible thing has happened and, you know, people are dead. Some sort of, you know, civil war. Or I was reading about it because I was like, I think that's one of my complaints is I saw a lot of like, probably a lot of white people writing like, this is so great. It like explores Colombia. I'm like, does it? Does it really? Maybe if you're Colombian, you would notice, because I don't think it like lived up to like educating. Cause I'm like, this was a really good opportunity that if Disney wanted to like center this in an actual like conflict in Colombia that happened, they could have educated about it and like said explicitly what it was. Cause there were like civil wars. There were also, you know, other, invasions like every fucking place. But I read that because he was trying to talk to them, like, you know, he comes up and he's that the assumption is it was some sort of civil war because he knew the people. But they didn't really clarify.
Well, like, so speaking of civil war, right? Like I was thinking El Salvador because like there was a very bloody civil war in El Salvador and it kind of made more sense to me in that regard.
Yeah.
But again, like, you know, we're in vague
like,
Latinidad.
Right, exactly. Which Disney excels at, you know, they really do. Vague France, vague, yep. You know, wherever.
Because they never really say where they are, because like even in Beauty and the Beast.
Encanto, Joe.
They're in Encanto.
Did you not pay attention? They're in Encanto.
So we're watching Encanto. I watched it for the first time earlier this year, and I was telling Joshua, I was like, Joshua, you really need to watch this. And he's like, no, Disney, miss me with that mess. There isn't an Ursula. There isn't anything about death and dying. And I'm like, yeah, but you need to watch it. And then you can, like, it's existentially horrific.
Right. One of the things I wrote, like, toxic families and trauma. I love that. There's lots of that going on here.
I mean, so let's just get into it. Joshua, as we do when Joe is in the driver's seat, which is completely against the Fright School type, we'll ask Joshua what he thought about it since he had never seen it before. So, Joshua, what did you think of Encanto?
I definitely probably won't watch it again. I wrote things that, like, you know, I kind of miss, like, the old Disney animation, you know, like the hand-drawn. Cause, like, I did watch some Disney movies growing up, some that we'll talk on here that were like, talk about on here that were like hand animated, you know, or like stuff from like this, like, I like the way like 101 Dalmatians look. So first of all, watching it, and I haven't really watched a Disney animated film, cause this is like the 60th anime under that umbrella. I haven't watched a new one in many, many years. So at least that I can remember. So one, right off the bat, like the CGI, kind of the computer animated look of it, like, bothered me. The dance sequences were really good, though. I did write that down. There was some really cool, like, choreography and dancing and things like that I really enjoyed. The music, you know, I'm not a Lin-Manuel Miranda. Is that it?
Yes. Okay. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Sorry. I did not like Hamilton. I'm not a fan of his. So I thought the music felt very, like, there was nothing memorable to me. Like, none of the songs, I didn't have any of them stuck in my head after. And, like, I do enjoy, like, a lot of the music that Disney has done. Well, we're going to get into a whole thing here, because it's like,
Say things you can't take back.
Well, it's exactly but it's like, it's specific. It's like, I enjoy Elton John. I enjoy the soundtrack of The Lion King. I enjoy Howard Ashman and, you know, Alan Menken writing The Little Mermaid. They wrote Little Shop of Horrors. So, you know, there are Disney, like, songs that really stand out. Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas. Well,
see, you name nothing. First of all, you name three gay men. And I'm like, this again is Joshua's misandry informing his taste level, because, as we all know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is a, you know, cis heterosexual man.
I didn't even really think about it, I guess. I just was like, nothing. I didn't, like, walk around humming anything after. Like, I expected to. I expected that, if nothing else, I thought, like, the music would really stick, you know.
There'd be like an earworm or something.
Yeah,
like,
but
that.
I just felt that they all kind of sounded a lot of, like, you know, either like sped up or slowed down versions of the same kind of song. You know, even the Bruno no thing didn't, like, stick with me. And again, that might just be I'm defective, you know, because I know people love it. I know people are out there singing all the songs from Encanto, like, it's the best thing they've ever heard. And I'm not taking it away from them. Just saying, for me, kind of fell a little flat. Also, they got magic and they're, like, healing people. And, like, listen, representation is awesome. I am blind as a fucking whatever. I wear glasses. I wear contacts. Without them, I cannot see. If my mother had, like, magic powers of healing, I mean, I've spent thousands of dollars in my life on glasses and contacts. So I would have fixed that. I'm like, why does this girl wear glasses when people have match? Like, I would have healed that, you know? So that bothered me a little bit. And I read stuff like, oh, people see themselves. And I saw lots of pictures of little girls with glasses, like, all happy about, what's her name? Mirabelle, having her glasses. So again, but I was just sitting there thinking, practically, like, my mother would have loved that, because it would have saved us a fortune as poor people. Glasses are expensive.
First of all, Joshua, I love you. I love how your brain works. You know, people who wear glasses aren't essential. I mean, like, I guess, here's the thing, right? Glasses are an accommodation for a disability that's become so normalized that it's more fashion. It's become so normalized that it's like, oh, there's a fashion aspect to it than a functional aspect to it, right? So I think maybe that's what they were playing with. But, like, thinking about it, I'm like, you're completely right. It's like, I'm making an arepa that is going to, like, you know, heal your paper cut. What does she need to, like, how come she hasn't, like, you know, made made it so that way Mirabelle doesn't have to wear these green glasses. But again, this is also one of those situations where it's like, oh, she's the outcast of the family, so she has to wear glasses.
Has to wear glasses. She's got no powers. Like, you know, she's just a loser.
Yeah, she's just a loser because she wears glasses.
And again, I don't want to, like, sorry, I don't mean to misspeak and, like, you know, needing glasses is it, but, like, I could not operate in life without them. You know, yeah, and a lot of people couldn't. A lot of people can't drive without their glasses. Yeah. It's like on your license, right? If you can't, you know, like, people know. So it's like, I'm just thinking about, like, you know, how just how expensive it is and how, like, detrimental it is to, like, lose your glasses. So it just feels like in this situation, you know, you might, maybe they had, maybe they wanted to fix that, but I don't know. Maybe there's some magical person that can make glasses with their magic. And so they never paid for them once. So it's fine. And she is very fashionable. Everybody, like, the colors of this movie are great. Clothing, you know, like the design on it is fantastic. I read a whole article about, it was like 21 things that you missed in Encanto if you're not from Colombia or know about, like, the, and there was lots of cool, like, details in that way that, like, and I know Disney is good at that. You know, taking and putting little things in and hiding stuff, you know, for, like, there's something about, like, the way the grandmother points, she makes, like, a hand gesture that's, like, apparently, you know, very, and, like, the cousin does some hand gesture that's, like, just for a second, but it's, like, it adds these sort of layers. So, you know, I get that. You know, there are lots of things to enjoy here. but yeah, I just you know, these kinds of things just aren't, they're just not for me.
It's that critical eye that I mean, like, I'm just thinking about, you know, like the attention to detail that Disney has with, like, hand gestures and, like, the inclusion of, like Peppa's husband is, is, like, noticeably, like, Afro-Latino. And then you have, like, Camilo, their son, and, like, the curly hair of it all, Antonio, the curly hair of it all, that, like, signals to that part of Latinidad that, which is interesting because, like, Lin-Manuel Miranda has been called out when In the Heights came out of how, like, there was no Afro-Latinidad representation, Afro-Latino representation. And I feel like that, you know, because of Colombia's history and, you know, because of Colombia's history and, like, the enslavement of Africans that ended up in Colombia because of colonization and the slave trade. So, like, they're putting that in there. But again, like, we can't, you know, glasses, like, you're looking, like, all of those details aside, did anyone, where was the intern that was just like, if her mom can heal everybody, then why is she still wearing glasses?
And again, I mean, you know, not to take away from people who are wearing glasses and seeing themselves in the movie. I just, you know, and again, there were other for me, logical, like, problems. And there's, like, 20 people on the story, like, in the opening where it's like story by, and it's like a huge list of people, you know, it's like a modern day pop song with 70 producers and it's still, you know, C, you know, it's in the key of C or G and 4B, you know, 4/4 timing, you know, it's boring. So it's like, there are things in the story that I'm like, okay, so the powers represent, like, their trauma bond, you know, of this terrible thing that happened. And, like, they're all using their powers to, like, cover up or, you know, or deal with, like, stuff. So when, like, the magic fails, it, like, gets them to, like, heal some of this stuff. But then the whole thing's about getting the magic back, which actually might be harming them. So I don't know. You know, there were things that I was like, I'm confused about what message I was supposed to take away, you know, with Poison Ivy, She-Hulk, and, like, the gay Mystique boy. I don't know if he wants to be gay, but that's kind of what I'm calling them in my mind, you know. although I did like that too. What's her name? Luisa?
Luisa, yes.
Yeah, Luisa. I did read an article about her representation for women, you know, who are, like, strong women or who are, you know, muscular or who have, like, different body types, like, the importance of seeing somebody like her on screen. So I did enjoy that as well. Like, there are things to take away from here that, you know, again, like, movies that we love, that we look back on and we're like, this movie is terrible, but it helped me see something in myself, or it helped me, you know, get somewhere, you know, so that's the thing here. There's going to be things in this movie that, you know, a critical eye might be like, well, that's kind of like me talking about the glasses thing, you know, where somebody else is going to be, who's made fun of every day for glasses, is now like, well, the hero of this movie has glasses, you know? So, and there might be a connection made there that I don't want to rob children of, as much as I dislike children. I don't want them to suffer unnecessarily.
Okay.
I also enjoyed the, all of a sudden it became like Black Christmas, you know, the boy, people under the stairs, like there's a man living in the wall, which again, I was confused by, because the sister is like, oh yeah, I heard him. I've always heard him. I'm like, what? Like,
well, she can hear things very far. Like, she has very good hearing.
No, I know. But then why is it like such a, it's, that was just a weird thing where she's just been walking around for 30 years or however long he's been living in the wall. Like, oh, there's a man living in the wall. But I'm like,
well, maybe she just doesn't know that he's in the wall, but she can hear him. And it's like, oh, I guess I can hear Bruno. But
yeah, I don't know. That was weird. No, but she explicitly said like, well, yeah, I've always known he was there or whatever. That was weird. But anyways, I did enjoy that turn because it did remind me of a horror movie. I'm like, oh, this is great. He's just living in the walls with his rat friends, popping out of things in the house. I just, yeah, that whole sequence. And that was John Leguizamo, who I do, yeah. I enjoy. So that was fun. you know what movie I paired this with?
Oh, no. What?
So I watched Encanto.
Spawn.
And because John Leguizamo was in it, it reminded me, because of like the toxic family and like the trauma and all of that, it reminded me of his Broadway show Freak.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen John Leguizamo's Freak?
I think I have. I have the script somewhere. Yeah.
It's so delightful. Again, it was 1998, lots of stuff in it that's like, ooh, this is not holding up to today. But just the way that he does the story about, like, you know, the trauma of like family and like history and all of these sorts of things, kind of, and how they play out in our lives. So I watched that after this because I was like, oh, this makes me want to watch that again. I haven't seen it in a while. So, but yeah, I don't know. I was just like, when he popped out, he's been living in the wall, I was like, okay, this movie is something else. This is doing all kinds of stuff.
I mean, so, okay, a couple of things. Let's talk about the fact that the house is a sentient house.
Right.
So, like,
it's a smart home.
It's a smart home. It's a smart home created by magic. But beyond that too, it's like, you know, when you come into your powers, you get like a door in the house that's your room that, like, you know, opens.
Yeah, the TARDIS.
Yes, the TARDIS home.
It's bigger on the inside.
So of the powers that were represented, which one would you want the most? Which one do you feel like you would identify with? Or do you think that, like, you know, the Madrigal miracle would give you a different power?
I'd get some lame power, you know, like, again, like, you know, what was it we talked about with, like, with thinner? Like, I'd get some kind of lame power that's not, like, useful.
The ability to, like, over explain things to people.
Right, exactly. Which, I mean, hey, I'm already crushing that. I don't know. Of their powers, I think Luisa's would be very helpful to have. I would punch every Nazi out there without fear of repercussion, because what are they going to do?
You would, like, reroute rivers.
Yeah. You know, just reshape the world. I love, she's like picking up stone steps, bridges, and tossing them around. I mean, she's doing it. You know, I thought that was very useful. I mean, shape-shifting, always fun. You know, I always, like, I was thinking about when the little boy gets the power to speak to animals. Like, that's super problematic to me in movies, or in especially if, like, people are eating meat. Because I'm just like, oh my gosh, I feel like you would just be inundated with animals. Like, stop murdering us, please. Like, that's my, you know, cousin over there on the table. Like, I just feel like that would get really out of hand really quickly. That's where my brain went with that one. I'm like, I don't think I want to talk to animals again. And that might just be like the guilt guilty conscience so of
it. It would just be a lot of screaming in the slaughterhouse to be like, no, please.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be really horrifying, especially for like a little child. I don't think that that's good. I don't think that's a, I don't think that's a valuable power to have. It would drive you insane. Listening to every animal talk.
Well, on that, listening to everybody with, what is her name? Julieta, no, not Julieta. Oh my, see, I don't even know all of them. Right. Whoever the one is that like can listen to people, like has good hearing, like that would drive me insane. Just being able to hear everybody's thoughts and not, and you know, this like panopticon, like I can hear everybody's thoughts.
Oh my gosh, what is her name? She's not even on here.
She's Peppa's daughter.
Yeah, Julieta is the mother, right?
Dolores. She's Dolores.
Oh, okay. There we go. Sure. Oh, yeah. Super hearing. Oh, she's a cousin, not a sister.
Yeah, she's a cousin. She's Peppa. She's Peppa's daughter. So she and Camilo and Antonio are all our brother and sister. Because it's just the two... It's the two girls of the triplets that have children. Bruno's not with anybody.
Right. Okay. There we go. Oh my gosh. We need a family tree. We need that song again to explain things to us. I enjoyed Maluma in 2 seconds of, you know, talking. I watched his concert where Madonna showed up. That was quite something. So, you know, there we go.
Were you waiting for like Madam X, you know, one, two.
Yeah, we stayed up really late waiting for her to show up because it was like a 5-hour ordeal. Wilmer Valderrama popping in. That was cool.
Yes. Do you also love how like the men took, well, the men have taken the Madrigal name? Because like Madrigal is Isabuela's name, you know, the men are listed as having taken, even though they've married into the family, they are under the Madrigal umbrella. So, you know, it implies matrilinear inheritance, which is really great.
Yeah. You know what? I just remembered the actual first thought I had watching this movie after like the Disney, the animation thought was, and this is like real, like right at the beginning with Abuela Alma, I was like, how are they going to blame all this on her? Like whatever goes wrong is going to be her fault. You just wait and see. And then it was. I knew that was coming like from a mile away. I was like, somehow like the trauma and all of like the stuff is going to be her fault. And it might be because I'm really, my last research paper that I wrote was about like horror and conduct disorder, which is like it's a developmental disorder of, you know, just of kids being bad. And a lot of times mothers get blamed, especially within the horror film. So I was just immediately like, how are the mothers going to be at fault for everything that's happening in this movie? And then it was at the end. It's like she just holds them too tightly. You know, she just expects too much. And all this is her fault. That might not be exactly a fair assessment, but to some degree, you know, it came back to her having to realize that she, like, you know, her trauma response is not healthy.
Well, here's the thing, right? So, like, you know, every Disney, there's always some sort of villain. Either, you know, if we're talking villainized and codified as queer, you know, coded as queer or whatever, but in a Disney animated film, this is the first one where there's, like, no kind of, there's no defined villain per se that, and I, cause the whole time I'm watching this, I was like, is the villain Abuela?
Right.
Like, is she the one who, you know, because, and again, it goes to exactly what you said. It's like, she loves them. She loves them too tightly. She is too concerned with that expectation of like what their reputation from the outward sense is like, and they have to keep it all together because the Encanto, the town, relies on them so much.
Yeah.
So it's very like, I resonate with that a lot. And that idea of like, you know, people's expectation, it's all self-imposed, right? It's all self-imposed. It's nothing that is like an actual concern. It's just like, you know, we have created this position for ourselves. And in the end, like, I really didn't want them to get their powers back, but I mean, it's Disney. So of course, you know, we have to set up a sequel so that way we have to, you know, they get their powers back. But I also kind of wanted, like, I kind of wanted Mirabelle to get a power too. Like, if you were going to do that, then why not we also, like, give her some sort of power? And I wonder if that's going to be, I wonder if that's going to be a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Like, you know, there's got to be a reason that she doesn't have one. And, you know, it's because it's some sort of, you know, I mean, again, she was playing a role in, like, see, again, this is the problem with movies that have, like, prophecies or, like, visions of things, like, you know, because, like, maybe I need to watch it again, because I watched it, you know, I sat there and I was, like, you know, paying attention and everything, trying to, like, you know, piece it together. There were a lot of questions, again, that I had, you know, like, why don't they... If Bruno's been given a power, like, why don't they trust his vision? You know, I mean, again, that's always the curse of, like, you know, foresight or whatever, you know, like with friends, when you're like, this is going to go bad, and they hate you for it. And then they don't apologize when everything goes bad that you warn them about. You know, people, we just like to, you know, make our own messes. You know, we like to just, you know,
I mean,
have it happen, I guess. So there are just things in the movie that I'm, like, really super confused about. And her not having a power, I don't think was ever exactly clarified, except that, like, she was the one to, like, bring them all back together. Like, her power was like a, she's like a therapist. Like, she just needs to go to school and get licensed. That's going to be her, you know, like, she's the unveiler, like, of all the trauma, of all the toxicity. I should have seen a lot. I should have felt a lot more kinship with Mirabella than I did. And that I'm just realizing in this moment, with all the shit talking I do.
So what you're saying is that Mirabelle's power is that she has an MFT. Like, she's
get one, you know, I think it would be really helpful. To everybody. And that's a valuable power to have, you know, the calling, you know, helping people process trauma in a healthy way. I feel like that's, you know, again, that's like a power. It can't be bestowed. It has to be found. It has to be.
You have to go to grad school.
Exactly. You have to spend a small fortune on it. No, but, like, seriously, like, she's kind of this balancing force. So, like, there's a power in that. But I get what you're saying. Not like a literal power. You know, she couldn't turn into, you know, a bird or something. Yeah.
I think that if I had to choose any of their powers, I probably would love Camilo. I probably would like to, you know, shapeshift. Yeah. the only non-Colombian cast member, actually, is the actor who plays Camilo. Everyone else is Colombian by birth. So.
Oh.
By heritage, I should say. So that's a really interesting fact about the whole thing. Another interesting fact specifically about Camilo is that Camilo was named after, like, a guide that the Disney animators and the Disney crew had in Colombia. And also, it's similar to the word, like, there's always these significances to their names. So, like, Camilo kind of evokes the word chameleon. And so his shapeshifty. Antonio's really interesting. Antonio for Saint Anthony, who apparently could talk to animals. So there's lovely, lovely little things there.
Yeah,
but so Joshua, cool. you wouldn't watch this again?
Probably not. I mean, okay. It's not even that I don't like the type of music, because I really do. You know, I love the sound of the soundtrack. I love, like, you know, a lot of the what they're playing with, but I just was like, ugh, you know, they could have, like, removed all the songs, you know, and, like, it wouldn't have, like, mattered to me. Again, other, like, you know, people may take, like, major issue with that, and that is fine. I'm allowed to be wrong.
I mean, okay.
I guess, you know, there were just things about it that, yeah, I'm not necessarily going to run out and watch this again.
Can we talk about the fact that we don't talk about Bruno is, like, an international number one, like, song, and it's not even, like, it's entirely expositional, right? Like, that would be like the first song being number one, where they're just talking about how awful this man Bruno is. And, like, Bruno is such an interesting character, because it's just like, hey, I feel shitty because I tell people what happens and then they don't like it, and then they end up judging me because I've told them these, like, crazy things, but it's not my fault. It's just, this is what I'm anticipating is going to happen. But a lot of it too is also like self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because like, especially in the wedding thing, it's just like Bruno said you were going to have a bad day. And then you ended up having a bad day because you were thinking about it. Like you just fulfilled your own prophecy there.
Right. Yeah. And again, that could be like why they're upset. Because again, if you have like, if you know bad things are going to happen and you can see that, like, is there a way to change it? Like, do you really have to tell people? You know, that goes along with like what I was saying earlier about a friend who might always warn you, like, or, and I've been there again, because, you know,
you are like, that friend.
I'm
you
that
are,
friend. So
you there, are Bruno.
There are definitely times where I'm just like, oh, you were repeating patterns. Toxic patterns. You have to stop this. And people hate you and they get so mad. And then you're right. And then, you know, it is what it is.
Just throw that away.
And people get upset.
And then you're right. You know, it comes.
But again, you don't have to. You also are not like, I'm like, this is something I've been learning on this journey of like wanting, you know, to be a therapist to get my MFT. It's like, you know what? My friends need to get their own therapist. I can't be people's therapist. And it's not my business. And you keep my fucking mouth shut. They didn't pay me. They didn't ask. Well, actually, a lot of people do ask. I shouldn't say that. A lot of people do ask for my thoughts on situations. And when I'm honest about them, it doesn't always go well. That's their fault. They asked. and I'm sure, dear listener, dear Patreon watcher, you have times in your life where that's also true for you. We all do, you know? All the situations in this movie, I feel, are, you know, that's the thing. I do think there is some value to this film. Maybe I shouldn't say I wouldn't watch it again. You know, I wouldn't be excited to watch it again, but I think there's some interesting things explored here about trauma and toxicity and families. You know, that sometimes the things that, you know, what make us great and what make us, you know, amazing come from like a really traumatic space. And that's worth exploring, you know, that's worth like talking about, but again, that's not new. I'm sure there are lots of Disney movies where that could be said. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of them, I guess. That's going to change. what else? Actually, I got through all my notes. So again,
perfect.
Watch Encanto and then John Leguizamo's Freak. Perfect pairing. maybe not for children, actually. That's not, that might not be wise.
I want you to pair Encanto with like August Osage County, you know.
Yes. I love that play, love that movie. I'm here.
It's
for
like
it.
Like I want it to be like the like polar opposite, but still along the line of like dysfunction and family. So it'd be like August Osage County or like the Family Stone. Something along those lines. And folks, if you want to see, you know, Encanto 2, Maribel Goes to Grad School, which would fulfill a lot of like immigrant narrative, is that she's going to go be a therapist and, you know, fix the rest of the world. You know, let us know in the comments what that would look like and tell us what your powers, would be.
Yes. But,
I'm gonna really enjoy these after school specials. The after school program that I went to in elementary was some of the most fun that I ever had in school. So
awesome.
I have a feeling that'll be the same thing here.
Yeah, yeah. So once again, we thank you for subscribing to our Patreon, where you get to watch this go down each whatever. I don't want to define it too much yet. I don't want to dig ourselves a hole, but we will be releasing these episodes for fun for you and always so you can see us.
And to be honest with you, the what you see may not necessarily be what is in the recording, because I will edit the recording, but you have to, like, you know, if you're able to get the video, then
that's true.
See, like, you know, I may edit out the blah, 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 that Joshua just did.
There you go. This might be a lot more messier than is on the audio only version. And if you're listening to this, because this is a very special free bonus episode, just to entice you to our Patreon content, please subscribe. Please tell your friends about Fright School and join in on this. Fun, I guess.
is one of the cats with you in the room right now?
They're out. I'll let them in because that'd be a nice hello, right?
People can
actually see.
Come on in. There he is. It's Hemlock. He's coming.
Of course. It's always Hemlock.
It's always Hemlock making noise. Come here. Come say hello to people. He's a mess right now. He and Lily have been fighting a lot. So they look, he looks gross.
Oh.
Say hello.
Yeah, people, that's another thing, you know, maybe we'll include videos and footage of the cats. You just never know what's going to happen, what's going to go down on the Fright School Patreon. Exactly. During our After Fright School special episodes. So thank you again, Joe, as always. I adore you.
I adore you too. And
this is going to be fun.
All right. Next time from the Casa Madrigal. See you later, Joshua. Bye.
Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davey Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California. Ha ha ha!